live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran has moved to reassure residents in Burnfoot that flood defence measures will be built around their homes. There are genuine fears that a child will be killed if sufficient traffic calming measures are not put in place outside St Angus's National School, Bridge End. A Donegal councillor says it's disappointing that there are no plans to build houses on land owned by the authority in Lifford. And a major pipe replacement project will get underway in Letterkenny next week. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest sport with Aisin Kelly at about 5:15. But first in news, Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran has moved to reassure residents in Burnfoot that flood defence measures will be built around their homes. The work has been put into question after the OPW stated that it would be reassessing the economic viability of flood defences in the area while the project remains without the necessary funding. However, in a meeting earlier today with Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin, Minister Boxer-Moran said that the work at Burnfoot was very much a priority. A further meeting is due to take place next week with Senator McLaughlin, hopeful that more details will be announced.
And I was very worried when we got a response to a parliamentary question from his department officials, and they again talked about this very offensive economic appraisal. This is where they look at the value of the houses that are under threat from flooding versus the cost of the defences and decide that defences aren't worth spending on. It's very offensive. So that language was used again. But he assured me, Minister Boxer-Moran, that that does not apply in this situation. He's also said he's committed to building the flood defences at Burnfoot and honouring the promises made last August. He's meeting his department officials next Tuesday, and he'll have another update for us all then. It's just really important that this offensive economic appraisal language is taken out. He said that is the case, and I have to believe him in that.
Will you be expecting a timeline as to when these works will be carried out at this next meeting? As we know, time is really of the essence here.
Oh, indeed. What I would want to see now next week is confirmation from the Minister, in terms of the time frame. When will the works commence? When will they cease? But as I say, he has given now, he's repeated his commitment to me today personally that he gave to the residents in Burnfoot, that he wants the flood defences built. He wants the families back in their homes. So we need a time frame. We need to know when it will start, when it will finish, so people can get on with their lives again.
The chair of the Disclosures Tribunal has asked Noreen O'Sullivan if the deployment of credibility in questioning Maurice McCabe at the O'Higgins inquiry was a bad idea. The former Garda Commissioner has finished giving evidence and her senior counsel at O'Higgins has begun. Colm Smith told the Tribunal he was on red alert from the start of O'Higgins and that the accusations against his clients could have severe consequences for future generations. Juliet Gash reports.
This module of the Disclosures Tribunal is examining whether Noreen O'Sullivan relied on inappropriate grounds to discredit Maurice McCabe at the O'Higgins Commission. Noreen O'Sullivan gave close to 3 days of evidence, and at the end, Chairman of the Tribunal Peter Charlton put it to her that perhaps the deployment of credibility when questioning Maurice McCabe was a bad idea. Ms. O'Sullivan said no doubt different people had different perspectives, but the whole purpose was to allow the Commission to have all of the facts. Beginning his evidence late in the day, senior counsel representing Gardaí at the Commission said the late stage they got briefing documents at was most unsatisfactory. Colm Smith said they were on red alert, that their clients had serious issues to address. He said that senior Gardaí he represented faced the most serious allegations of corruption, and if any of these stuck, they would have severe consequences for them and for future generations of the family. Juliet Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
A Donegal councillor says it's disappointing that there are no plans to build houses on land owned by the authority in Lifford. A Stranorder Municipal District meeting was told today that there are 333 people on the district's social housing waiting list and 55 vacant units at various stages of readiness. 2023 are at offer stage. Councillor Gerry Crawford asked about Lifford to be told it's hoped a number of houses can be acquired under a turnkey scheme. However, he says there should be a plan B.
There's no guarantee that that will come back, and there's no plan B. And the council does have a land bank in Lifford. They've had it from 1999, and they have confirmed today that they don't actually have a plan. They said they'll look at that when they get the other results back from the tenders for the turnkey development, but they don't have a plan B, and that's not of much use to the people in Lifford who are waiting on houses, who are dependent on houses.
What you're being told effectively is that there will be a plan on the table and that there'll be firm proposals brought to the council in March. You're saying that's too late?
No, what they're actually saying is they will have the results of the tendering process in March, but if that fails, then they'll tell me what they're going to do. But my argument is that's not of much use or much hope to the people who are waiting for a house. I think that the council should have the land bank. They should be carrying on. There's more need in Lifford than what the turnkey is probably going to be able to turn up. And the council should have a plan B so they can implement it, because plans take time. And it will take time to get to a stage where the council will be building houses there. And I think that that's a disgrace whenever people are waiting on houses for so long.
Is this something you can pursue before full council later this month?
Well, they have undertaken at municipal level, at this level here, that they'll come back to the next meeting or when they get that report. And I think it would be wise to wait till we get that report. But it's disappointing that while we're waiting on that report, that they're not really working on a plan B. I think it's easier to have a plan and not have to implement it than to have no plan at all and have families wait.
The Standard and Public Office Commission has spent almost €500,000 investigating allegations of false expenses claims by two former members of Uterus Nigel Tochta. The investigation relates to allegations of duplication of expenses by Senator Brian O'Donnell, who was a Donegal County Councillor, as well as an elected board member of Uterus Nigel Tochta. An investigation into similar allegations against Padraig Doherty, who was also an elected member of the Board of Uterus na Gaeltachta and Donegal County Council, cost a further €21,300. Catherine Gaffney reports.
Both men were found to have contravened ethics legislation by submitting claims for travelling expenses from two separate bodies for the same dates. The information on the significant cost involved was obtained by Shakla, TG Cahir's current affairs programme. The bulk of the cost related to two legal challenges taken by Senator O'Donnell. He took a case in the High Court in an effort to ensure the hearing by SIPO would be bilingual and would be conducted without the assistance of an interpreter. He appealed the High Court ruling against him and claimed the investigation should not take place until the rules of the Court of Appeal were made available in Irish. SIPO said the cost in the case of Senator O'Donnell were for professional legal fees, translation, legal counsel, stenographers and court fees.
The head of the civil service in the north says the public sector is suffering as a result of no ministers being in place to make decisions. Talks are resuming at Stormont today to try to restore a power-sharing executive. The Democratic Unionist Party and Sinn Féin-run administration collapsed over a year ago. There are genuine fears that a child will be killed if sufficient traffic calming measures are not put in place outside St Angus's National School at Bridgend. It follows concern raised by both the faculty and parents over the high speed some motorists are travelling while children are being dropped off at the school in the morning. There are currently signs and road markings situated there, but it's reported that some drivers are ignoring these warnings. Principal Seamus McGowan says children's lives are effectively at risk until something is done.
Issues in the morning time where we have cars speeding to work, and I suppose in the evening time when cars are coming home from work. And there's a slight bend as you come to the road. Some of the heavy vehicles like tractors are taking the other side of the road to avoid the traffic island. So it's becoming kind of obsolete, the traffic islands there. You know, all it takes is for one person to make the wrong decision when they're using the road, and all of a sudden, you know, you have an accident outside the school.
Searches are continuing in Strabane for missing woman Leslie McHugh, who has been missing now for over 2 weeks. The Community Rescue Service have been carrying out searches on a daily basis since Miss McHugh was reported missing on January the 7th. Meanwhile, the Community Rescue Service was deployed to Derry on Saturday night to assist in the search for high-risk missing person Michael McGinley. Searches are continuing in the city, assisted by Foyle Search and Rescue, local police at the PSNI dog section and police air support. Irish Water and Donegal County Council have confirmed a major pipe replacement project will get underway in Letterkenny next week. The High Road Windy Hall Water Mains Replacement Project will involve the replacement of 750 metres of ageing water mains. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The works get underway on Monday next and will involve the decommissioning and replacement of approximately 750 metres of ageing public water mains, as well as the replacement of old and damaged service connections which link the public water main to individual customers' properties. Irish Water says the old mains and connections are being replaced with modern high-density polyethylene plastic pipes. The project is expected to take around 15 weeks to complete, with Irish Water saying it'll help stop leaks which have been a problem in that area. The work will impact on traffic, with Irish Water saying traffic management will be in place for the duration of the works. Special arrangements are being made for local and emergency traffic to ensure that they can flow at all times.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where a massive golf sale is now on.
It's 13 minutes past five. Time now for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. Martin O'Neill says he won't be using the UEFA Nations League as a means of experimenting with the squad. The Republic of Ireland were today drawn to face their World Cup conquerors Denmark and recent group opponents Wales in the inaugural edition of the tournament. Given that the Nations League could provide a pathway to Euro 2020, O'Neill says he's more likely to blood new players in the upcoming friendlies with Turkey and France instead.
Those matches then, you use that sort of opportunity. But these games now, the games in September, October, November, as we've just mentioned here, have a significance all of their own. So I think the experimentation might have to disappear.
Ireland midfielder James McCarthy says surgery on his double leg break has been successful. He fractured his tibia and fibula during Everton's 1-1 draw with West Brom last weekend. McCarthy will miss the rest of the season. Michael O'Neill says the size of his salary was nothing to do with his decision to turn down the Scotland job. He held talks with the Hampden bosses last week. In today's UEFA Nations League draw, his Northern Ireland side were put into a group with Austria and Bosnia and Herzegovina. Manchester City await the winners of tonight's League Cup semi-final second leg. Arsenal and Chelsea are goalless from their meeting a fortnight ago ahead of tonight's game at the Emirates. Gunners boss Arsene Wenger is expecting a very different tie this time around.
We want to go to the final. We have an opportunity to do it at home against Chelsea. I think the two teams know each other very well. The first leg was very blocked. The second leg will certainly be more open, because at some stage the teams will have to open up.
Kick-off time to that game tonight is at 8 o'clock. In Scotland, Celtic are 11 points clear at the top of the Premiership. They won 2-1 at Glasgow rivals Partick last night. Parkhead striker Mohsen Dembele was left on the bench while he's been linked with various clubs in England. Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers is playing down that there's any problem.
Sometimes you see in modern game players' heads get turned and they don't want to train, they don't want to work and all that side of it. It's not the case at all. He's focused, we speak daily, he's a good young guy. It's important for supporters and people to know it's not a boy who's sulking.
Sligo Rovers have signed striker Lewis Morrison. The 19-year-old has signed a one-year contract at the Showgrounds, having left Scottish Championship side St Mirren. The FAI Intermediate Cup fourth round ties involving Coghill Celtic and Letterkenny Rovers have been rescheduled. The Ulster Senior League clubs were due to play in Dublin last weekend against Home Farm and Cherry Orchard, but the fixtures were called off due to waterlogged pitches. The games have been refixed for Sunday, February the 4th at 2 o'clock. In Gaelic games, NUI Galway are through to the quarterfinals of the Sigerson Cup. They were comfortable 3-15-1-6 winners over IT Sligo this afternoon. Donegal players Owen Van Gallagher, Andrew McLean and Kevin McBurdy all lined out for Sligo in that defeat. Well, Donegal start their National Football League campaign against Kerry and Killarney this coming Sunday. Donegal will have around 6 or 7 players lining out from that which finished the championship last summer, while Kerry are missing even more. Hugh McFadden will captain Donegal this weekend in the Kingdom.
You always want to play at the best level you can. You know, you want to be playing at the highest rate, but you know, at the end of the day, without saying too cliche, it is about building towards May and building towards Cavan out here in Baba Fey. You know, we had a very successful league campaign last year and the fruition didn't come throughout the summer, and we were probably criticised a lot and people can miss the performances that were shown throughout the league, and they were disregarded after the poor summer we had. But we'll be using Division 1 to build towards the summer. If we can stay in it, we will. If we can win it, we would if we could, and we'll try our best to win every game they go into. But you know, Declan and his management team will apply us the best way we can. You know, coming on from last Saturday night, we're going to have 8 games in a row, so that's going to take change and that's going to take fresh bodies, and you know, there's going to be a lot of players in and out of the team over the next few weeks with the reduced recovery time between games, and we'll be looking to use this opportunity now to build our game plan and build our performance moving in towards the brighter days.
And of course, if you can't make it to Kerry this coming weekend, you can tune Highlands Way. We'll have full live commentary from Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney on Sunday afternoon as from 1:45. Now in rugby, Joe Smith says Tadhg Birnie's commitments to Scarlets preclude him from inclusion in the Ireland Six Nations squad. Birnie has been in sparkling form for the Welsh side in the past 18 months, leading to louder calls to be given international recognition. But Smith says the need to release future Munster lock to Scarlets between Six Nation games, coupled with the amount of game time he's seen already this season, means he's likely to have to wait until the summer tour to Australia. Smith also says that Simon Zebo could feature later in the Six Nations, but that his exclusion from the initial 36-man panel is purely down to form, not his impending move to Racing in France. Connacht captain John Muldoon has announced that he'll retire from rugby at the end of the current season. The 35-year-old has been with the province for the past 17 years and captained them to their famous Pro 12 win in 2016. Muldoon also won 3 Ireland caps and played for the Barbarians. In boxing, Michael Conlon has announced he'll be trained by Adam Booth. The English trainer already works with former WBO champion Andy Lee and IBF bantamweight and super bantamweight champion Ryan Burnett. Conlon has won all 5 of his fights since turning pro, and his next outing will be on St. Patrick's Day in New York. Finally, in tennis, Roger Federer is still on course for a 20th career Grand Slam. He's still to drop a set in this year's Australian Open after beating Thomas Burgett in straight sets today. Federer will now face the unseeded South Korean Hyun Chang in the last 4. Coming up later this evening on Highland, as from 8:30, Tom Comack will have his usual Wednesday night GAA programme. And I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 news.
Thanks, Oisin. The PSNI believe 4 men tried to murder an elderly woman found critically injured in her garden in County Tyrone. They ransacked the 83-year-old's home in the Sydney Street area of Auchnacloy last night. She was taken to hospital just after 9 p.m. Detectives are also investigating whether it's linked to 3 other reported burglaries in the area. And residents in Ballyarnet Village in Derry are urged to be on high alert after a number of break-ins in the area. The majority of break-ins have occurred within the last 24 hours, and it's believed that most homes were specifically targeted. A community safety meeting is taking place today to advise residents of how best to move forward and what prevention measures can be taken. Local councillor Sandra Duffy says vigilance is key.
They're planned and they're targeted because reports that I'm getting is that vans are patrolling the area. They're looking into properties. They're seeing, they're looking at the patterns of when people are home and when they're not home. So some of them are very targeted and some of them are actually opportunistic. But again, people just need to be very vigilant.
For weather now, windy today, especially in coastal areas with a mix of sunny spells and scattered showers. Some of the showers will be heavy with a risk of hail and thunder, and highest temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, there are genuine fears that a child will be killed if sufficient traffic calming measures are not put in place outside St Angus's National School at Bridgend. It follows concern raised by both the faculty and parents over the high speed some motorists are travelling while children are being dropped off at the school in the morning. A Donegal councillor says it's disappointing that there are no plans to build houses on land owned by the authority in Lifford. A Stranorna Municipal District meeting was told today that there are 333 people on the district's social housing waiting list and 55 vacant units at various stages of readiness. 23 are at offer stage. Minister Kevin Boxer Moran has moved to reassure residents in Burnfoot that flood defence measures will be built around their homes. The work has been put into question after the OPW stated that it would be reassessing the economic viability of flood defences in the area where the project remains without the necessary funding. And Irish Water and Donegal County Council have confirmed a major pipe replacement project will get underway in Letterkenny next week. The High Road Windy Hall Water Mains replacement project will involve the replacement of 750 metres of ageing water mains. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 24th of January. The death has taken place of Danny O'Brien, Clonbeg, Buncrana. His remains will repose at his residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning in St Mary's Church, Cockhill at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired to the Patient Comfort Fund, Letterkenny University Hospital. House private pleas from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and strictly private pleas on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Pearl Moore, late of 7 Breen Park, Victoria Bridge. Funeral on Friday in Ardstraw Presbyterian Church with service at 2 o'clock, followed by interment in Ardstraw New Cemetery. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired to Ardstraw Presbyterian Church and Cancer Research UK, care of Mrs. Lorna Finlay, 245 Millmount Road, Victoria Bridge, County Tyrone. The death has taken place at the General Hospital Cavan of Rose Brady, formerly O'Reilly, nay Carey, Station House, Drumhouna, Lochduff, County Cavan, late of Drumaweir, Greencastle, Donegal. Her remains will repose at her home this evening from 7 until 11 and again tomorrow from 3 until 10. Funeral Mass on Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St Joseph's Church, Lochduff. Interment afterwards in the local cemetery. House private pleas on Friday morning. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired to the Stroke Unit, Cavan General Hospital, care of Simon Riley, Funeral Director, County Cavan. The death has occurred in Glasgow of Neil McFadden, Knockfalla and Glasgow. Removal from Gwydor Funeral Home this evening at 6 o'clock to his sister Leslie Ann's home at Meenalloch, Knockfalla. Funeral Mass in St. Columbkill's Church, Knockfalla, on Friday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. Inquiries to Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Joseph Doherty, Ahawani, Kilmacrennan. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Requiem Mass on Friday at 12 noon in St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired, to the ICU at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Sweeney Funeral Director or any family member. The death has taken place of Dennis Green, Aikenhead Road, Glasgow, and Glenvar. His remains will arrive at St Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Glenvar, tomorrow at 7, reposing overnight. Rosary in the chapel at 9 o'clock. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Glenvar Cemetery. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired, to the Diabetes Association UK, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors or any family member. The death has occurred of Peter Conaghan, 46 Letterbracht Road, Plumbridge. Peter's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in Sacred Heart Church, Plumbridge. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has occurred at Beaumont Hospital, Dublin, of Elizabeth Betty O'Donnell, née Grant, Beaumont, Dublin, and formerly of Ballymagan, Buncrana. Betty's remains are reposing at her home at Beaumont until removal tomorrow to her brother John's residence in Ballymagan for 5 o'clock, reposing overnight. Removal from there on Friday morning to St Mary's Church, Cockhill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred at Corralon Nursing Home, Kildare, of Mary Gallagher, wife of the late Joe Gallagher, formerly of Monaghan and Welshtown, Ballybuffet. Her remains will repose at McCool's Chapel of Rest, Ballybuffet, from 7 o'clock tomorrow until Rosary at 9. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, with interment afterwards in Glenfinn Cemetery. The death has occurred at St Vincent's Hospital in Dublin of Willie McGeehan, Glencaira, Glenswilly, New Mills. His remains are reposing at his brother Eamon's residence at 71 Glenotty Close, Glencar, Letterkenny. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Columba's Church, Glenswilly, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Kilfeek Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Autism Family Support Group, Letterkenny, care of any family member, or Conmac Dade & Sons Funeral Director, Letterkenny. The death has taken place in Manchester, England, of Kathleen Langan, née Freel, Ballyor, Fanad. Her remains are reposing at the family home in Ballyor, Fanad. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Fanavolte, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Inquiries to Eamon Scott Funeral Director, Fanad. And the death has occurred of Patrick Malloy, London, and formerly of Chapel Road, Dunloe. Funeral Mass at 9:30 on Wednesday, February 7th in Holy Ghost and St Stephen's Church, Shepherd's Bush, London, with cremation at Mortlake Cemetery, Richmond.